Hi, everybody. Welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast. I am your host. With me, as always, my co-host and teenage son, Jackson. Say hello, Jack.
Hi.
We're back down here again. I was already down here once today doing my ROH episode 509 review. That's up wherever you're listening to this. I released that a little bit earlier today. And as promised in that podcast, I said we'd be back down here tonight to talk about just a lovely evening we had last night watching Hell in a Cell 2021.
It was so good. We didn't want to watch it in one night. We wanted to watch it a second day.
We hung on and finished the main event this morning, and I went back and watched the pre-show match just before we came down here. I'm a completist, you know. I had to see it.
For better or for worse.
So normally I try to be really positive, and Jack's usually the one, correct me if I'm wrong, is like, this pay-per-view's gonna suck. Nope, this main roster pay-per-view.
Yeah, I don't trust and I'm always, them anymore.
And I'm always like, you know, buddy, it's okay. It might be all right. It might be better than we think.
I don't trust them anymore.
This one I didn't love. I've to be honest, the last few pay-per-views I've been okay with. Solid Bs or maybe...
Mania was okay and then Backlash was less okay.
Yeah, I haven't... but everything's been in the B range for me, which isn't bad, right? Like, I don't think it's amazing, but...
Although bad does start with a B.
So this one didn't look great on paper just because it felt like, I don't know, a lot of the feuds are...
WrestleMania, Backlash too.
Lingering from Backlash, lingering
even
from...
WrestleMania, and in one case, since January.
Right, so there's not a lot of freshness to this pay-per-view, I didn't think. So hoping for some end of some storylines and feuds and maybe some introductions of something new, but...
One of them we actually got a guaranteed end.
We did, you're right. I don't know. Do you have any small talk you want to make? How's life? How was school? Everything great?
Yeah.
It's really hot today. Hoping to get in the pool after
Ant-Man
this.
Ant-Man was good. I watched Ant-Man today.
Ant-Man was good. I am using my new microphone I got for Father's Day, thank you. So I don't know how it sounds yet, but...
Me either.
I've become a little bit addicted to audio equipment, especially of the budget variety, so I'm constantly... I would say I have a collection of microphones now, probably, eh? I'm looking around going, yeah, there's a bunch of them here, so... Thanks for the Father's Day gifts. I hope everyone had a good Father's Day that's a father out there. And I don't know.
Watched Hell in a Cell, you might have had a less good Father's Day. But...
I don't know. I still enjoyed it. We sat outside, had a fire going, sat in a couple chaise lounges.
Got I did some, get team mozzarella sticks. So
used my new air fryer to make some. If you don't have an air fryer, they're pretty intriguing. Already have made fries, mozzarella sticks, wings. I think that's it so far.
Yeah,
everything really good. Super crispy. Feels like you deep fried it, but it's kind of guilt-free. So I was quite a fan of it.
No, I have no guilt.
You have no... Well, you're a teenage boy. Of course not. But I'm not a teenage man who's not looking to eat super terrible. So it helps in that sense. But anyways, shall we talk about this lovely show that we watched last night?
Lovely? No. Show, yes.
All right. So let's get into talking about WWE's Hell in a Cell. And I did check out the pre-show match. I'd watched, to be honest, full disclosure, nothing else on the pre-show. I can't stand the panels. I talked about it last pay-per-view we did. I can't do the panels of people talking about stuff. So I just
When it's like they're not even actually talking about it?
No, they're not. It's all just, I don't know, just toeing the party line and adding to the storyline. And it's no real analysis, no real insight. It's just what they're supposed to say, right?
Right.
So I checked out the pre-show match. It was Mandy Rose versus Natalya. I don't have much to say.
I think that speaks for itself.
Kind of, right? And it's funny. They seem to be trying to put Mandy Rose over as this much improved worker now. So it started out with like all the classic holds and counters just done at about 2/3 speed probably. Then they did a whole like rope running little segment where nobody got an advantage. And then they even did the whole like stop and look at the other person out of respect because you've now like wrestled to a stalemate for a little bit at the beginning, right? Then the rest of it was like decent wrestling, but it just executed very slowly. Like there's not a lot of flow or fluidity to Mandy Rose at this point.
Shocker.
I've never been people love Natalya and that's great. I have not been a huge fan. I mean, she's good, but I don't think she's
okay.
One of the all-timers or anything. So Natalya, anyways, long story short, ends up winning with a sharpshooter as Mandy Rose tapped out pretty quickly in just under 10 minutes. And my brilliant analysis, it wasn't great. It was nothing anyone needs to go out and see. It didn't feel like anything better than that.
And now, because Natalya is one half of the women's tag champs, none of the tag titles were featured on the show.
Right. So this was nothing better than like a Raw or SmackDown match. It didn't feel like to me nothing amazing.
Shocker.
So the official show opens with, Did you see the opening little package thing? I think you came in as it was on, right?
I don't. If I did see, I don't remember.
It was like.
But then again, I don't think I tried to remember.
It was an extreme close-up of a woman's mouth as she's like doing the voiceover, speaking into like a retro microphone, and then like highlights and stuff leading up to the event. I actually thought it looked kind of cool, and honestly, most of their intro packages are pretty slick and cool looking, so I thought this was a good start.
That's the person talking to the other person.
And then it was all downhill from there. No, just kidding. Not quite.
Pretty much.
Not quite. Not quite. That's a little bit harsh. You're probably going to be more hard on this than I am, so I'll try and balance your negativity, shall we say? But it's going
to
be tough.
I'd like to call it rightativity.
It's going to be... I don't know, maybe. So the first match we get, the opening on the actual show, is the Hell in a Cell match for the SmackDown Women's Championship, with Bianca Belair defending against Bayley. Any sort of background for this?
They faced off at Backlash and Bayley laughs too much.
That's it. That's our quick summary. Beautiful.
She probably made fun of Bianca or something. So then Bianca's like, we have to have a match.
Yeah.
And since they put Roman versus Rey Mysterio on SmackDown, which I think would have been one of the only good matches.
Maybe.
I honestly wish, like in hindsight, wish that was on the show.
Yeah, I kind of forgot that. I haven't seen that match yet. I haven't even heard if it was good or not. Have you heard anything?
No, and so that's why this match is in Hell in a Cell. Awesome. I honestly wish they had kept Roman versus Mysterio.
Yeah. So this one, Bayley went on the attack early, brought a chair, but missed with the first swing that I thought looked really bad. It was a really, like, clearly you're not trying to hit anyone with that swing. And that allowed Belair to get a few quick near falls. So Bianca starts using her hair as a whip, and Bayley's using the chair as a shield. Belair runs shoulder first into the post, and Bayley starts to target that shoulder. Bayley bites Belair's arm at one point as they're kind of up against the cage, if I remember correctly. So there's sort of a callback to the previous match, because Bayley has kendo sticks that are already taped together. Because what match was that where she tried?
Hell in a Cell. With Banks.
Was that long ago? She tried to tape them together and it didn't work. I actually remembered that. So that was kind of an interesting little callback, I thought.
Yes, I agree.
So she uses them to span from the apron and poke them through the cage to set up like a sort of a barrier there. But of course, she ends up being the one to go through them with a nice spinebuster from Belair. Bayley ties Belair's hair to a chair and sits in it. And eventually Bayley is pulled
Belair's
into the chair.
Hair to a chair.
Yeah. Before Belair ties her own hair around Bayley's wrist, which I don't really understand why she did that. I don't know why you would want to tie your hair to someone. Like I was saying when we were watching it, why doesn't Bayley just run away, right? And drag this girl by the hair, basically. But anyways, we get kendo stick shots and a barricade attack to Bayley. Bayley begs the ref to let her out, brings a ladder into the ring, sort of sandwiches Belair in it that looked kind of cool, hits the rose plant, which is what, some sort of knee thing?
It's like basically Ambrose's Dirty Deeds, like the original one.
Oh, it is?
But with the arm trap.
So I was completely missing something. So she does that onto the ladder.
It looked really bad.
It didn't look great. Belair takes control, hits a running senton on Bayley on top of the ladder, then hits the kiss of death on the open ladder, which I thought looked really good, the kiss of death on the ladder.
Yeah, that's cool.
She picks up the pinfall and retains in just under 20 minutes. What did you think, if you can take your eyes off the spider for a second?
Yeah.
It's just a spider, man.
He's kind of annoying.
Yeah, you're obsessed.
Decent match to start the show. Probably good by main roster standards, I guess. He's on around the sign.
It doesn't matter.
Bayley tying Belair's hair into a knot around the bar was cool, but then it was less cool when Bayley went to get weapons and Belair just like unties herself. Like that was kind of dumb. Belair using her hair to cuff herself to Bayley made no sense because all she did was use it for things like an Irish whip, which doing normally would have worked just as well, if not better.
Yeah, I think it's actually a bad idea to tie my hair to somebody.
When they brought in the ladder, as I predicted, because when Bayley grabbed chairs, I saw the ladder, and I knew that was coming into play. There was some cool offense. The KOD on the ladder was pretty cool looking.
Yeah, I thought that was good.
Started and kind of ended slow, which I think we mentioned like when we were just talking about it.
Yes, we did.
Middle was better. Overall, like I think a good enough start, but like I don't know. As far as cell matches go, not exactly the best, because like, it was less
that
a cell match.
That I would agree with.
More a no disqualification match that happens to have a giant red cage around it.
I think part of the problem is the early Hell in a Cell matches, they're just not going to let people work like that anymore, right? Because people will get hurt and careers will be shortened, like they say in kayfabe. So I think that they've sort of set themselves up because there's never going to be matches like those first few, right?
But even like the Usos versus the New Day, which is the one I point to as like the standard bearer of like the modern
that day one was kind of recent.
Right.
Yeah.
And that one was just like, just, I don't it was fun. Know what that to was say, a lot of fun. But right, you just kind of got to do stuff. Like, you're kind of
got to do stuff.
They're not going to do whatever they did in like the original ones, like you said, but like, be creative and like use the cell, like dive into it like the Usos did, or like just do stuff that like actually incorporates the match better, like make give a reason for the cage to exist. You know,
that being said, I thought this was a decent start to the show. Again, it was a bit slow to start. It picked up in the middle. I think Bayley using the hair made sense. Bianca using it didn't to me. The match held my interest. I was never very excited while watching it.
Not super bored, though.
And no, I wasn't. I was paying attention the whole time. And from what I've seen and heard, this feud has been underwhelming. And the Bayley character's kind of gone a bit too far, I think.
Right, because, like, she went from, like, a... Last year, she
was amazing.
Just
a raving lunatic, right?
Right, who just laughs like a child.
Right.
And, like, last year, she was awesome. Like, she was serious, but, like...
Still a heel.
Kind of full of herself. Like, and, like, now I just don't even know what to think. And they've gone way too overboard the ding-dong hello thing.
Yes.
Like, now that's, like, a talk... Like, that's her highlight reel show now.
It is. I'm glad Bianca retained. I think this was good. Not a great match or an opener. And I think
Jericho would be able to use the highlight reel, in like AEW?
Yeah, probably. Get ready for that to be a recurring theme of the good, not great. Sorry, there was just not a lot of variety in my match reviews for this show, but that's just me being honest.
It's hard to give variety when like a lot of these matches are so similar. It's just because like, I know I've said this before, but they're really, it does feel like there's some main roster, quote unquote, style, just like...
Well, and I feel like there's just
back, kind of?
A glitch right now, and we're getting the same matches and the same people in the same combinations, and it's just like, I've seen this already.
It's like, we got Hell in a Cell, that was the only difference.
So I think I might be alone in this, but I think this, looking back, was probably my favorite match on this show, and you've heard what I have to say about it, so that's not
a great
sign.
I think the main event was kind of in contention as a match.
Maybe. Sheer enjoyment-wise, I think this was my favorite. I actually had a bit of fun watching this one. So then we get... There's a little bit of Alexa Bliss on a swing.
I hate her so much.
I don't make notes specifically of what she did. I just had good for her. She's trying really...
Lily's on timeout or something.
She's trying really hard, but this is just awful creative ideas.
It's so bad. It sucks so bad.
So I feel badly for her. She's talented.
Even when they ruined The Fiend, I don't think it was this bad.
No, this is unwatchable. This is like...
She's worse than Bad Fiend, almost. I think.
I watched it because we're reviewing it. I do it for the listeners, but I don't...
She's... I think not because I like The Fiend, but I think she's bad than worse... More bad than worse Bad Fiend.
More? What? She's worse than The Fiend ever was? Can we say that?
Yes,
there
that's
you
what
go.
I meant.
So the next match is Cesaro versus Rollins, which we're getting a redo from WrestleMania, right?
Yeah.
So Rollins attacks Cesaro during his entrance, but Cesaro... takes control as soon as the match started, hits a body slam, back body drop, then a boot to send Rollins to the floor. Rollins used a thumb to the eye to put Cesaro on the defensive and then hit him with a DDT. We get a Cesaro deadlift suplex, led to Rollins having to dump Cesaro outside with a backdrop and a springboard knee. Cesaro came back, removed Rollins' glove, shoved it in his mouth. Rollins hits his Falcon Arrow for a two count, followed up with another near fall after a kick to the back of Cesaro's head. Cesaro came back with his swing, not as many revolutions as he has before, and then he locks in a sharpshooter. Rollins reaches the ropes, breaks the hold. Cesaro switched things up for the crossface before transitioning back to the sharpshooter. Cesaro stomps on Rollins' arm as he attempts to reach the ropes again, but Rollins was able to roll him up with a small package for the win in 16 minutes. Go ahead.
So this was good enough. Both of these guys are like, they're good. I like them both.
This reviewing this pay-per-view was an exercise in finding synonyms for like, this was fine, right? Like pretty much, or it wasn't bad, or it was decent or solid. That's what you're going to hear.
The main roster style, I think, resulted in some lulls in the action. The feud has more or less been going on since post-Royal Rumble. Rollins returned at the Rumble. He had, like, a segment where there was a bunch of people on the ring, so they're all disrespected him. That's basically been going on. So
still going.
This has spanned basically the whole year, which is now half of the year.
And it's too bad because both of these guys are awesome and we like both of these guys.
I found their Mania match more enjoyable, and both of these guys need to move on. Rollins needs to be turn face. He's grown stale, and at the moment, I don't think he can really bank on his in-ring skills. Like, because just, I feel like the match
he needs more. Yeah.
Right. And it's Seth Rollins and Cesaro. I feel like they should be tearing the house down, but it's main roster.
So they're not.
So this is good enough, I guess.
Good enough.
But feud is worn out and stale. Just not much to it.
Yep.
But I guess they're at one apiece now, so.
That's what I'm afraid of. I thought this, again, two quality wrestlers putting on a good match. It's just, as you said, a lingering stale feud with no real stakes to this match even. The finish wasn't very exciting, which may come up again in this review. I mean, it was a solid competitive match. I don't know what really to say. I hope that there's some new ideas once they have live audiences. Maybe that's what they're doing, is it's just like a holding pattern until we get back in front of live crowds.
I mean, that's
and then
fine,
we'll bring out the good ideas.
Like, I don't really like that.
No, of course not. One of the issues of dragging feuds out like this is that I can sort of, I have an immediate point of comparison, right? Like, I have seen this match recently, and I saw a better version of this match, so this one doesn't do so well in comparison.
Or they both sucked.
For me.
Like, I'm not saying if that's the case, but
no.
Like, sometimes.
But
like,
I have a very recent thing I can compare it to, and this wasn't as good.
Right, yeah. Like I said, the Mania match was better at least.
Yep, so the finish to this wasn't very exciting either. And again, that's going to come up again tonight. So I don't know. I thought this was fine, right? This is an okay match, but
the catchphrase.
I want to be like getting excited and rewinding to see things and like looking at you to look at me and go, whoa, did you see that? And that's not happening on this show for me.
That hasn't happened for me with the main roster in like a long time.
So let's move on to, I'm not going to take too long with this, Alexa Bliss versus Shayna Baszler. So they show some highlights from this feud, and my comment was...
Highlights?
They cherry-picked highlights from this feud to show. So in theory, these are the best little glimpses of this.
And they still suck.
And it was... Just those made me cringe. So I can't imagine people that are watching this every week, because this is just
like
beyond what
cool
I want to see. So Reginald causes a distraction at ringside that allows Baszler to get her offense going.
Which,
with strikes
why
early.
Why does Shayna Baszler, an MMA expert,
and
UFC
a killer,
person, need a distraction from a stupid sommelier guy to take on a pint-sized supernatural
is he still,
person?
Is the sommelier is not still his gimmick, is he? He's not still a wine guy?
No.
He was, yeah. Bliss continues to alternate between anger and happiness, just showing emotion. And
yeah,
I mean,
like, she would, like, sell pain from Baszler's
and then
cool
laugh.
Moves and then laugh it off. And yeah. That made me mad because it's Shayna goddamn Baszler. You can't do that.
But to be fair, she's doing a good job of performing. She's just been given garbage to work with. So Baszler continues to attack with kicks, punches, joint locks. During a wrist lock, Bliss yells at Baszler to look at her. And Baszler reluctantly does and then releases the hold that she once had. This allowed Bliss to get in a flurry of her own offense, ending with a DDT for a near fall. Then comes the amazing part where Bliss stares down Nia Jax, who's standing at ringside.
Yeah, that also made me mad that Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, Reginald are even still with Baszler. That makes me mad at alone.
So Bliss has mind control and can control Nia Jax's movements. So whatever Bliss does, Nia Jax does, of course. So she forces Jax to slap Reginald using her magic, which was amazing.
That was ridiculous.
To wrap it up, Bliss then hits Sister Abigail, Twisted Bliss, and...
It's like her version of Sister Abigail. It's like that DDT Velveteen Dream used to do.
Pins Shayna Baszler clean in 7 minutes on a pay-per-view. Go ahead, Jack. But just remember, you can't yell into the microphone. You
yes,
have to move
I can.
Back.
I can.
Well, I can't fix it. It's going to sound like crap, so
that's
go ahead.
Fine. This was awful. It was stupid and moronic. Shayna looked bad, and Bliss' character is stupid, especially given the fact she possessed Nia Jax. Like, that's too far. Shayna looked dumb releasing a hold because she looked at Bliss. The whole thing was dumb. Shayna Baszler's being freaking accompanied by Nia Jax and Reginald, and then she's having her offense just laughed off by Bliss, and she's losing clean.
She didn't get much offense either.
To supernatural Alexa Bliss on a pay-per-view clean. How much worse can this get? Bliss being able to possess Nia Jax too far, this gimmick needs to stop. Like, it's bad. Bliss is trying her best, that's fine, but the concept itself is awful. And this is one of my biggest issues with the main roster. Like, this is just stupid. This was, and why is Shayna Baszler involved in this? Like,
I don't know.
Why?
I don't think Vince likes her.
Why do they have to,
And so he needs somebody to look ridiculous doing this, so let's use her. I got no plans for her.
He's trying to hurt me. That's what I'm
saying. I thought this was ridiculous. I'd love to know who this is for and who they're getting. I'd love
to know who came up with this and then who greenlit it. Like, who thought this was okay?
I don't understand who they are getting positive feedback about this, that they keep going with it. Shayna looks bad. Nia looks bad. Alexa's trying really hard, but
she looks dumb.
I feel bad for everyone involved in this. Shayna got very little...
Except for Nia Jax.
Shayna got very little time on offense. She lost clean to Bliss's regular finisher with no real magic or anything being involved in affecting the finish.
I was surprised she used Twisted Bliss because she usually uses her sister Abigail D teasing him a jiggy.
Yeah, this was one of those times where a non-wrestling fan would wander into the room and judge us very harshly for watching. Yeah, and
I wouldn't even deny it because this was stupid.
Yep. So there are multiple...
I think you said a similar thing, sorry, about the zombie thing last.
Yes.
I find there's like... Lately, as much as we say, oh, the pay-per-views haven't been that bad, there's been one thing at least that's been terrible.
Kind of embarrassing.
There's the zombies thing last time. The Fiend thing wasn't great.
Yep.
Even the Fiend thing at Fastlane.
Most Fiend things aren't great. Let's be real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, when he returned and he was all burned and whatnot.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Like.
So there's multiple talented people involved in this being wasted, and yep. I'm just hoping it ends quickly.
Who? Baszler and Bliss, right?
Yeah, they're talented. I don't know. I know anything about what's-his-face Reginald.
He's not talented. So
I don't know. That's you saying
and
he's
Nia
not.
And Nia Jax is Nia Jax.
I would rather watch him and take your word for it, but maybe someday I will. Then we move on to a match that I was kind of looking forward to just because they always have good matches. That's Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. And this is the match where I really noticed, I can officially say, I do not enjoy Pat McAfee on commentary. I don't even know quite what it is.
Yeah, he's a little much sometimes.
I was telling you, my favorite commentary right now is NWA, I think.
I like
it's a three-person team. I don't even know who the lead commentator is, but then Tim Storm and Velvet Sky.
I have my dream commentary.
I know it's Mauro Ranallo. We know
Mauro, Nigel, and Excalibur. Yeah.
So Owens attacks Sami Zayn right away, but Zayn uses underhanded tactics to take control until he fails to suplex
that does not
Owens.
Sami Zayn thing to do,
allowing Owens to eventually hit a cannonball in the corner. After attacking Owens' arm and driving his throat into the ropes, Zayn hits a flipping dive over the top onto Owens on the outside. So this is a thing that they really, really tried hard to get over, is that Kevin Owens is still affected by the Nigerian nail from Commander Aziz that he took on Friday.
Which is a glorified thumb to the neck.
So they spent a lot of time talking, and poor Owens having to act like he couldn't breathe or was struggling or whatever. So then he starts selling an arm injury as well. So the ref is checking on his arm. Sammy runs forward with a boot. Owens fights back with a clothesline on the outside, tries a senton from the apron, but Zayn gets his knees up. Blue Thunderbomb back in the ring for a near fall for Sammy. Owens fights back with one arm, and Sammy delivers a big exploder suplex that Owens took really high on his head and neck.
It was pretty good.
Looked scary. Owens hits a stunner to the on the outside, and Sammy barely beats the 10 count to avoid the countout. Sammy hits a knee to the back of Owens, sending him throat first into the bottom rope, and we know his throat has been compromised by Commander Aziz.
They said it was a knee, but like it was like he barely hit him with his foot.
Zayn pounced, hits the haluva kick for the win, pinning Kevin Owens in about 13
minutes.
I will
at least give him credit. The haluva kick was pretty nice.
Yeah, what did you think?
It
was. The haluva kick always looks good.
Owens having to sell the effects of a glorified thumb to the neck was dumb. It's like a worse version of the Samoan Spike.
Count
Samoan's,
the dumbs in this
wasn't
podcast.
Wasn't the Samoan Spike, like, at least to the eye or whatever?
No,
or, like,
I don't think
face?
So. I think it was to the neck as well.
Or the throat, at least.
Yeah, I think so. But he also had it all taped up, so it looked like it was kind of, like, solid and would hurt more.
Right.
I don't know if Aziz does.
It looked like it was to the eye or something. I don't know. This wasn't bad, but wasn't great either.
Yeah.
Standard. Count how many times that's happened.
Yep.
These guys have had so many better matches, and even their Mania match, which wasn't one of their best, was better, which again, there's a recent one you can point to. Both of these guys have done good in their current roles. I think Zayn has maybe deteriorated a bit, but like for the most part, his heel run, I would say, has been pretty successful.
Yep.
It's brought him his only main roster title, so... But I think when it comes to them feuding against each other, Zayn must be the babyface and Owens must be the heel. I think that's just... That was magic. That was like...
Yeah, I'm fine either way, but I know what you're saying.
I think things like that's when they had like... I remember that was when I first started watching wrestling. Like they had, I remember they had a great match. They had matches at like, I think, Payback, and then they were in a four-way.
I think they're both capable of doing either role well.
I remember they had an awesome... Yeah, but I'm just saying like when it comes to...
Yeah,
their feud. I remember they had a great match at Battleground, too. Like, just the whole base of their feud was that, like, they are friends, and then Owens is just a dirtbag, and he turned on Zayn. It's just, like, I feel like their feud is, like, it doesn't have much depth in this case, you know?
Oh, no, so, it doesn't. There hasn't been a lot going on right? with these guys, I don't think.
And it involved Logan Paul, so.
Yeah, oh, that's right. That was what was going on with them. There was way too much talk of Owens getting hit with the Nigerian nail throughout this for me. It wasn't a bad match, but again, these two have had better contests than this with each other.
Again, it's Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Like, I expect better.
And I remember some of them still. So, I mean, this was, again, it was fine. It was a decent little match, but commentary did take away from this match for me.
Yeah, and, like, the thing for me is, like, when I think of a match between these two, I don't expect fine. I expect much better than that.
And I found it weird that Owens was selling two things so much. So I'm wondering if the arm was actually legit.
Because he did a really good job. He hit his wrist on the ground.
When
Zayn dived, remember?
Yeah, he did a really good job of, like, kind of working with one arm. So I don't know if he's just an awesome seller, which is possible because he is. But it just seems weird that he's really, really overselling the throat and the arm in the same match. So I'm wondering if he really hurt himself or if he's just talented. But either way, this, again, it wasn't a bad match. These guys are capable of better. That's about all I have to say.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
The penultimate match of the night was Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley, second to last. Add that to your vocabulary.
Okay. It's added.
It's another string to your bow. So this is for the Raw Women's Championship. Charlotte attacks Ripley before the match. How many times did that happen tonight? I feel like I've read that.
Rollins did it.
I feel like I've read that line already. At least once.
Rollins did, I know.
So the match actually began a big boot almost immediately after the opening bell from Flair. Ripley hit a drop kick from the top rope before locking in the clover leaf, but Flair shoved Ripley into the turnbuckle to break the hold. Natural selection by Flair, but she gets caught with her feet up on the ropes during the pin attempt.
As Ripley's kind of kicking out. Which yes. Is weird.
So that's what the commentary is saying. Oh, she might not have even needed that, right? Like, she could have just gone for, I don't know, but it looked like she was kicking out anyways. Ripley's now selling her leg, managed to hit a suplex for a two count. She hits a riptide awkwardly close to the ropes, like, unless you've been wrestling for 5 minutes.
It was the most obvious yes. rope break of all time.
So this allows Flair to get her foot on the bottom rope. I thought it made Ripley look a little bit silly. Figure four by Flair, and I don't think it was the figure eight, right? Because she wasn't rocking back
the
entire way.
She hasn't been using that as much. Like, she's just been using the figure four.
But Ripley gets to the ropes, escapes to the floor. Ripley pulls off the top of the commentary table and decides...
And kind of hits, like, when she pulls off, she kind of uses it to, like... It, like, pull it up into Shard's face.
Right.
Which somehow causes a DQ,
and that's a DQ, and Ripley retains.
Not only is it a DQ, but I thought it was a really dumb DQ as
well. Well, that's my thing. If I'm willing to get DQ'd in a match, I'm going to murder you, right? Or not literally, but
right,
obviously.
Like, or at least
but
hit you with a chair.
I'm going to make it count, you know?
Right. Like, not just, like... I guess she did kind of beat her down after, but yeah. It's a pretty non-weapon standard beatdown.
So Ripley retains in 14 minutes with another sort of questionable finish to a match on this show.
Yep.
And yes, the beatdown continues after the bell and eventually laying out Flair with another riptide.
But like you said, if you're going to get a DQ, just commit to it.
Yes. What'd you think of this?
So it was mediocre at best. I think the finish didn't do it any favors.
No.
And I assume... As a result, the feud will be forced to continue on to a slow and painful death.
Yes.
This match failed to keep my interest. It felt slow, and the main roster style felt prominent here. I keep saying that, but that's just the way I can describe it. I watch AEW and NXT every week.
It's different. It's notably different in the ring.
I watch
this
once in the month. Once a month.
And we are watching when they should be pulling out all the stops. We're not watching the weekly show. We're watching the pay per view.
This should be good, right. And it's just.
Solid, right?
Right. This just wasn't great. Didn't even have a decisive finish. Although this wasn't the only unsatisfactory finish to come.
No, and there's already been one.
That is true. Wait, so the women?
There was something that were already that happened.
Bliss and Baszler?
No. Well, that too, but wasn't there already a roll-up here?
Right. Rollins and Cesaro.
There you go. So I thought this... Obviously, Bliss Baszler was the worst match on this card. I thought this was next.
This gave it a run for its money.
I thought it was a step up from that significantly, but I didn't think this was very good. Like, decent at best. Disappointing cop-out finish that allows this mediocre feud to probably continue, I'm guessing. I didn't find this very interesting. I don't know, is Ripley a babyface? Because I don't think either of these women are likable at this point. It felt like it's just a holding pattern match.
I feel like Charlotte's never likable nowadays.
We want to extend this. We need a match on this card. How can we just have it continue? So they found a cheap little way to do that. Kind of felt like it was a waste of my time. And the Riptide beside the ropes again was really silly spot. And the finish was just not anything I would ever want to see. But that
especially
was that.
If you're going to do a DQ, at least do it good.
There's just, I've said it before, there's just something missing with Rhea Ripley, especially main roster Rhea Ripley. She's better in NXT.
Remember when she won the title and like the NXT title and she was just on fire?
She, as they say, and I can't stand when they say this, but she seems to have all the tools, right? But there's just something presence-wise
maybe
or acting-wise missing for me.
Maybe it's just because they've made her worse or something? Because they seem to have a talent for messing up the NXT talent.
They sure do. All right, main event time. So this is the other Hell in a Cell match on this card for the WWE Championship. It is your champion, Bobby Lashley, defending, again, against Drew McIntyre.
Yep.
So guess what? Lashley immediately attacks, dove from the ring, tries to pull something from under the ring, but McIntyre follows him out, drives Lashley's face into the cell before slamming him into the wall. McIntyre lifts Lashley for a suplex, launches him into the cell wall before grabbing the steps and ramming him into Lashley's head twice. I thought those... Lashley takes stair shots to the head really well, I thought. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, they looked good. As McIntyre sets up a table, MVP slides his cane through the cell. Lashley uses it to hit McIntyre and gain control of the match. After being rammed into the cage and the ring post several times by Lashley, McIntyre hit what I thought looked pretty cool, an air raid crash on the steps, which
nice.
They referred to as for his buddy Sheamus's white noise.
Even the last they were feuding.
Yes, right. It's his buddy, his longtime buddy. McIntyre brings chairs to the ring, hits a reverse Alabama slam to Lashley. He did not take that one quite as well, but what are you going to do? You got to get your arms up on that one. Right. Lashley nearly gets the hurt lock, but McIntyre counters it, hits a sit-out powerbomb for a two count that looked pretty nice. Lashley rammed the ring steps into McIntyre's head and the cage, and he traps Drew in the corner using a kendo stick stuck through the cage. So remember, this is where he's using the little
tactic?
Divot in the steps to smash it against his head, quote unquote.
Oh, right.
But like we all know, his head's not touching because the cutout where the...
It's gigantic.
Yeah, so there's no... But anyways, I get it probably made a cool visual and makes a cool sound, but we know it's not coming anywhere near hitting his head. We're back in the ring. Lashley hits two flatliners onto a chair. Second one looked pretty good. Lashley hit McIntyre with a kendo stick several times. McIntyre traps it under his arm, uses the chair on Lashley before he gets shoved into the referee who's knocked out of the ring. The referee's down. McIntyre hits his future shock DDT, but obviously no one's there to make the count. They unlock the cell door to allow for a new referee, and MVP sneaks into the cage. He pulls a ref off to stop a count at one point and then ends up taking a claymore from Drew. McIntyre lines up another claymore, after using a steel chair to attack Lashley.
After he hit the claymore on MVP, he went after MVP like too much.
Yeah,
like,
I don't even remember.
Just, like, he took him out and then he just like kind of kept like MVP rolled to the outside and he just like kept going after him. It's like, chill out, bro.
Lashley's able to duck out of the way, send McIntyre through a table at ringside with a choke slam. That, if I remember, I don't think the camera caught that one too beautifully, if I remember correctly. McIntyre counters a spear from Lashley, hits another future shock, goes for the claymore, but Lashley catches him with a roll-up to win the main event of a Hell in a Cell and retain the title in just about 25 minutes. Your thoughts on the main event?
I feel like as a cell match, it's probably better than the opener. Like, enjoyment side, like... Because I feel like they made better use of the
you
cell.
You caught me almost falling asleep, so I can't...
Yeah. No, I'm not saying like a better match, but I think...
Yeah.
Okay, better use of the cell,
okay.
Let's say.
Yep.
Which is kind of what I mean when better cell match. Like, just better use of the structure, at least.
Okay.
Because I think they were sending each other out the cage. They had, like, the table in the corner, the kendo stick cell thingy. Like, you know what I mean? So this had some good action at points and some decent plunder. Finish was terrible, and I think sometimes it got a little slow, but
you almost lost me. I fell asleep
true.
Almost.
So, not the best. We've had worse finishes, but a goddamn distraction roll-up finish instead of a main event world championship Hell in a Cell match is still terrible. Maybe one of the worst. I think it ranks up there with Bray Wyatt's hologram. Remember mm-hmm. in Ambrose versus Rollins?
Yes.
Lesnar causing the double DQ in 2018. Right. And then the Fiend finish where he was just under a pile of stuff and the ref's like, no, please stop.
Right.
So, yeah, this definitely ranks up there. Match itself was, like, good enough for the main roster. Like, it was good for the style.
Good enough. You said a lot tonight, I think. It's good enough.
I really can't find any other words.
I actually...
And the finish does diminish it a bit for me. I like this than, like, I'm not sure which I like more between this and the opener, but those are probably, like, my two favorite matches if I had to pick.
Ending your match and your pay-per-view on a low note, like that distraction roll-up, I think is such a odd
decision. It really hurt it. As a whole, I think.
I actually thought this match started off pretty hot, and I was really into it, especially the stuff outside the ring looked really good to me. Then, sort of as the plunder kind of picked up in the middle section, I got a little bit bored, and Jack caught me almost falling asleep at one point. I mean, these two did beat the heck out of each other. Really physical match, but again, the opposite of fresh. And I was honestly just hoping for...
Even though I think this is only the second time they faced off, but, like, it just feels like they've been at least, like...
Orbiting each other forever.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for.
I was just hoping for an end to this feud at this point, which it looks like we're going to get because Drew doesn't get another shot.
In hindsight, I'm happy that Strowman was in that Backlash match because I think he made it better.
That match was good, yeah.
Fresh, if not better.
The finish to this almost felt like WWE was trolling people who complain about distraction roll-ups because I hear people complain about it. And this was like, this was their response. Like, really? So you get a distraction roll up in a main event championship match in Hell in a Cell. I just said another decent but not great match on a card full of them.
The only
but it
positive
loses
I can find
some marks for the ridiculous
is that
finish.
They did say that McIntyre can't challenge for the title as long as Lashley is champion. So that guarantees they have to freshen it up.
Yep. So my overall thoughts on this pay-per-view, I found this, I think the best word I could find was incredibly bland pay-per-view. Nothing felt new and exciting. Everything kind of felt stale and recycled. And I wasn't really hyped for any match on this card. And sometimes I try and tell you low expectations help a pay-per-view to over-deliver. Because if you're not expecting much, it's easy to be like pleasantly surprised.
They just don't deliver.
But I don't think this one did. I pretty much got what I expected. Decent in-ring work by characters that aren't very interesting in storylines that I don't really care about. And that's... There's nothing other than the matches that's drawing me in. Like, outside of the Roman Reigns storyline, which is really cool.
Which was absent.
Right. Everything else is just kind of, I don't really care. So unless they absolutely just knock my socks off in ring,
right, it's not
I'm
like
gonna struggle.
AEW where we're watching the storylines every week, or like TakeOver, right? Like,
right, and it's gonna add to the match. Instead of this is just, I'm just looking at the match because nothing leading up to it's been interesting. I've been pretty positive about main roster pay-per-views lately, but I don't think I can be that with this one. I can't recall one.
Which sucks, because it's Hell in a Cell. At least there's like, it's like one of those pay-per-views where it's like, at least
there
if
should
it's
be
bad,
one match
there's
that's
at
cool.
least the Cell matches. Yeah. But then there's like, I don't know.
I can't recall one spot or moment in this whole night I really got excited about. There's not one match I would recommend to anyone. A couple of them were good, but like not to take time out of your day to see.
Main roster fan.
It seems just at a glance this morning, a lot of people like this main event, but if I'm being honest, I think I like the opener the best, and I didn't even like that very much. This show was a slog. I have to give it a C, and I would consider it completely
missable.
Yeah,
I feel like if this was like a good show or even like a better main roster show, I think you would have been willing to like finish it, maybe.
Probably.
Like, it was a school night, but like,
yeah,
if it was good enough,
if I was having a good time, I would be like, okay, we'll finish
even
it.
Even if it was decent, but like, I don't even think this was decent.
Did not like. What about you?
Completely standard and mediocre pay per view, bland, like you said.
Yep.
Nothing new, and as a result, nothing interesting. Bliss versus Baszler, I guess, was the only feud that hasn't been going on for months on end, but that match is undoubtedly the worst match of the show, so there's no points for being a fresh-ish feud. The opener was decent, but a little too slow at times, given the talent involved. And despite being one of the shorter-running feuds on the show, their feud doesn't have much depth and also feels stale. And I think, like, it was a kind of decisive end, because their quote-unquote hair roll-up thing at Backlash kind of necessitated
mm-hmm.
a match. Rollins versus Cesaro was fine, but their main match was better, and given it's Seth Rollins and Cesaro, I expect better. And I kind of blame WWE and their the main roster style for that.
Could be.
I feel like we talked enough about Blaszczak versus Bliss, and it was a flaming hot pile of crap. Bliss's supernatural shtick needs to end, as it's all just too dumb at times for my brain to comprehend, and Blaszczak losing clean was an awful choice.
And looking just weak in general. Yep. And scared.
Mm-hmm. Which I hate. She's a badass UFC fighter.
She could kill all of
she
the,
could kill
most
Alexa
of the people
Bliss.
In that company, probably.
If they were having a real match, she would yes. kill Alexa Bliss.
Yes, she would.
Owens versus Zayn was fine, but they've had many better matches, and I feel like in their case, like, because they are doing good in their roles.
Yep.
The heel-face dynamic just seems wrong in the case of their feud.
Okay.
The way their feud is going right now isn't great, feels kind of stale, which I feel like I'm saying a lot, but it applies. Ripley versus Charlotte was too slow at times. Finish made this match feel even worse. I can probably say a similar thing for Lashley versus McIntyre. The match was better, but in the aspect that the finish kind of mars the match. It's a roll-up finish in Hell in a Cell. Like, how can I make this seem like... It's just, that's not good.
You can't do that.
The show's not great overall. It's slowly getting more and more difficult to sit through these pay-per-views because I thought Mania was probably... a little better than Backlash.
Yep.
And Backlash was a little better than this. And
yep.
this just wasn't it. So this is a C.
I agree. Two C's out. From us. That's pretty rare.
Yeah.
Not a great Crapping effort by himself. WWE.
Yeah.
Well, I figure we should wrap this one up because we're going to be back down here again this week at least once. So Saturday we'll be back for the main show. And because AEW is Saturday night this week, right?
That is correct. Yeah, this is the week. So we will
The
be
Saturday
here.
Show will be a bit short. And then we'll sit back down probably on Sunday and just do an AEW. So keep your eyes out for that kind of stuff. Should be coming out wherever you're listening to this. You'll see it. We always like to say if you'd like to give us any feedback, we'd love to hear from you. FNSWrestling@gmail.com. FNS_wrestling_podcast on Instagram. Or if you're listening on YouTube, just leave a comment and I will respond to you guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to sign off pretty quickly here tonight because we'll see you back here on Saturday, everybody. And until then, take care.